This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 776. Thank you so much for joining me. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and I apologize if there's a little bit of noise outside my window. I don't think you can actually hear that, but I can hear it there as there's some construction going on here in the tax-free state of Nevada in Las Vegas. Oh, God, I just love that. I don't think I can get over that anytime soon. Tax-free state, living in a tax-free state. Income tax-free, I should say, just to distinguish that a little more clearly. So different than California, that's for sure. But our upcoming Meet the Masters event is happening in Irvine, California, and it is very, very close, and you are going to be so impressed with the level of speakers we have at this event. You know, this is the first time we're really doing some real professional speakers, I should say. Yes, people who speak for a living are speaking at this event. So you're going to be pleasantly surprised and I think very impressed at how we are just continuing to up-level our events every single time. We're making them better and better. Last year we went to dual screens, and this year we're having dual screens as well. We went to professional audiovisual companies, and that was one of the things I got on the evaluations, you know. You got to use one of these big, expensive audiovisual companies. So yes, I caved in and did it, and our events just keep getting better and better, and you're telling us that every year, so we appreciate that. This is our 19th Meet the Masters event. Yes, our 2017 Meet the Masters event is number 19. We used to do them once a year, so now they're only, or we used to do them twice a year, I should say. Now they're just annual events, so they're only once a year now. So we haven't been doing this for 19 years, but this is our 19th Meet the Masters event. So this is going to be the best one ever. Get your tickets at jasonhartman.com. Click on the events section and register right away. We've had a couple of price increases as the event draws near, and we have had such demand for this event that we may actually do streaming ticket sales as well. So we're thinking about that. We're thinking about it. And we're going to have a couple more speaker announcements, but we're kind of leaving some as a surprise because we're very excited about those. You know, I tell you, with this noise outside and with my constant complaining about what? What do I complain about all the time other than the crooks on Wall Street, the rigged financial system, whether it be at the banker level, the monetary level with the Federal Reserve and the other central banks around the world, or whether it be with, you know, whatever way that it's rigged, right? These folks on Wall Street rigging the system, the banksters, not the bankers, the banksters rigging the system, the government rigging the system. And I think in some ways it's going to be a lot less rigged as Trump attempts to drain the swamp. And I know there's a lot of swamp dwellers on Trump's cabinet. Believe me, I am as discouraged about that as anybody. But you know, I don't know if it's completely possible to do this because you got to have people that are experienced, that know their way around the system. So we'll see how he attempts to unrig and the system and drain the swamp a little. But we'll see if he achieves that. I don't know if he will. He may not. I mean, Trump is, he's got some very big government tendencies, some very liberal tendencies, I think, that I do not like those. So I'm critical of those. But today we're going to talk about some interesting government waste issues and what we can do about it. And by the way, this was recorded before the election, I should tell you that, but still extremely applicable as we look for a huge change in government policy as the Trump administration comes in. And we'll talk a lot about this at our upcoming Meet the Masters event, of course. But one of the big problems, yes, this is what I'm talking about, I complain about, one of the incessant problems in our modern society that very few people talk about, and it just rattles us. It rattles us, folks. It is part of the Industrial Revolution. It is the constant, incessant, nerve-grinding, nerve-jangling issue of what? Noise. Yes, noise. Yeah, remember my rant about leaf blowers? Yes, noise. Noise is this constant thing that is just kind of eating away at all of us, jangling all of our nerves, whether it be trucks, garbage trucks especially, you know, street noise, construction noise, leaf blowers. Ugh, I hate leaf blowers. You know how I feel about those things. Whether it be just media, you know, we've got televisions playing, we've got noise constantly in the background. That's just one of the things I don't think we give enough credit for. And I originally started thinking about this when I read a book called Margin back in the 90s, a very good book, Margin. I don't know what the subtitle is offhand, but it just talks about how the margin in all of our lives, the margin to deal with stress has gotten so much smaller, and we've had to adapt to this. And it's hard to adapt because we weren't designed for it. And one of the things Elon Musk talked about somewhat recently is how electric vehicles, as they take over, cities will become quieter and quieter. Oh, I can hardly wait. Listen, you know, as a second-time Tesla owner myself, I am not convinced that the electric vehicle is the way to go. I'm really not. We'll see if they make some real strides. You know, it's got some benefits, it's got some real flaws, but I think self-driving is going to revolutionize the world. In fact, I attended CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, with a couple of our Venture Alliance members, Gary and Fernando. And Gary, thanks for hooking me up on the free tickets to CES. That was very nice of you. And your friend Brian, who really hooked us all up, but you kind of did too. So I appreciate that. You know, my first time attending, I attended its sort of pseudo predecessor Comdex years ago, and that is the biggest trade show in the world. 170,000 people descended on Las Vegas, and it is an amazing time to be alive. All of these technologies that will just change our lives radically, whether it be $200 3D printers. Gary and Fernando went and saw the demonstration of the $200 3D printers, how they could make things right in front of your eyes in minutes with something that sits on your desktop in minutes, a $200 3D printer that can make a whistle that actually works, you know, a whistle you put in your pocket, a whistle that might save your life in an emergency situation. Amazing time to be alive. The cameras, the photography, the drones, the displays, the TV monitors. Incredible, an amazing time to be alive with all of these amazing technologies brought on by none other than the virtues of capitalism, the computer technology, the X Prizes for all of these different amazing things, one of them being the tricorder. You know, we talked about the book Abundance written by Stephen Kotler and Peter Diamandis. It is an amazing time to be alive, and we'll continue to monitor all of these amazing things the sharing economy, all of these incredible things that change our lives. We'll talk about this in upcoming shows. We'll talk about 3D printing houses some more as that technology emerges in our lives. And just so many amazing things to come. But yes, be sure you join us at our Meet the Masters event. It's only once a year. JasonHartman.com. Click on events and register today for that. I think you will be amazed, as it is an amazing time to be alive, and we have this once a year amazing event coming up. Come out and meet our clients, meet our vendors. We're flying in our teams from all over the country. By the way, I got a note on that. You may have noticed the inventory on our website at jasonhartman.com/properties is very, very low. Well, that's a symptom of two things. One, it's a symptom of the overall real estate market. Inventory is low. And I tell you, if we weren't picky, there would be a lot more inventory. But we're trying to vet these properties for you on our website, so you don't have to vet them. And there's a lot of inventory that we could be putting up on our website, but we're not, because it stinks. It's just crummy stuff, crappy properties. So we're really trying to be picky and vet that inventory for you, our clients, so that you have better choices. So more to come on that. But the other reason the inventory is a little short is many of our providers are holding that inventory for our upcoming Meet the Masters event. So that inventory will be presented to you at Meet the Masters. We want to make sure we have enough properties for all of you to purchase at our Meet the Masters event coming up. So two reasons inventory is low on the website. One, just general market conditions, inventory being very scarce, but also some of our local market specialists holding that inventory for our attendees at Meet the Masters. And something that you have long requested and we have never done, we actually have breakout sessions at this Meet the Masters event, where each of our local market specialists will have private rooms where you can sit down with them and talk in more detail about the properties they have for you. So I think you'll really like that. Again, a first time doing that at this year's 2017 Meet the Masters of Income Property Investing. Register at jasonhartman.com/events, and we will look forward to seeing you there. But without further ado, let's get to our guest today as we talk about how to reduce government waste. It's my pleasure to welcome Tom Schatz. He is president of Citizens Against Government Waste and its lobbying affiliate, Council for Citizens Against Government Waste, and publisher of none other than the Congressional Pig Book. I love the title and I love the theme. Tom, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you on the show. So we've got so much pork in our government, you know, no line item veto, pork barrel legislation, ridiculousness from Congress on all sides. What's the latest and greatest?
Citizens Against Government Waste has been publishing the Pig Book since 1991. And in the 2016 Congressional Pig Book, we have identified 123 earmarks worth $5.1 billion. That's an increase of 21.4% over the $4.2 billion in fiscal year 2015, but far from the $29 billion, which was the record amount 10 years ago in 2006.
That is a lot of pork. Give us some examples, if you would.
There is $5.9 million for the East-West Center in Hawaii, which is one of the few items where we can track it directly to a member of Congress. Unlike prior years, particularly 2008 to 2010, members do not include their names on the earmarks because they're saying there aren't any. We believe there are. But in this case, the $5.9 million for the East-West Center was requested by Senator Brian Schatz, no relation.
Unfortunately.
That one's been around for quite some time and has been added by senators and the loan representative from Hawaii for many, many years.
Tell me about this issue of they used to put their names on the earmarks, and did a law change to where they don't have to? I mean, it's unbelievable how these politicians are just exempted from everything. You know, they truly are in elite class.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Before 2008, members were not required to add their names to the earmarks. So the only way that we could find out and put our pig books together, at least with the names of members, was to look for press releases, other comments, and public acknowledgement of the names of the members. From 2008 through 2010, the rules were changed so that the members were required to include their names in the appropriations bills. And so there was a list at the back of all of these bills that identified the members. And that really, the transparency part came about due to the outrageous amount of earmarks in 2006, as I had mentioned a couple of minutes ago, $29 billion. That closely followed the 2005 highway bill that had about $24 billion in earmarks, including the infamous Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska. So there was such an outcry, at least for more transparency, that Congress agreed they would put their names on these earmarks and put them in writing. But in 2011, there was an agreement that there should be a moratorium on earmarks, so the necessity to add names disappeared. Congress since then has declared all of these bills earmark-free, even though we know for a fact that a lot of the earmarks that appeared in the prior years before the moratorium are still in these bills. They just say that there are no earmarks.
Unbelievable.
It's like magic.
Yeah,
it's a magic declaration.
It's just, you know, is it any wonder that most of these politicians are lawyers, because they sure know how to change the truth, don't they?
Well, and again, that's part of the reason, among many others, that people distrust politicians generally. They certainly distrust members of Congress, but they still do reelect their individual members at a pretty high rate. You know, there's an argument, an ongoing argument, about whether earmarks help get bills passed or not. I think they helped increase the cost of these various bills. I don't think they helped get them passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now this would be the fourth election where earmarks are essentially not an issue. The class 2010 demanded the end of earmarks, so the moratorium, I should say. Now you've got 2010, 12, 14, 16. I think a larger group of fiscal conservatives, for the most part, in the House and Senate. So nobody is running on a platform to say, oh, I'll bring home the bacon, elect me, because taxpayers don't want to do that anymore.
So what can be done? How do we fix the system? Everybody knows there's all this pork barrel legislation. I mean, is it about a line item veto? Is it about just smaller government in general? It's amazing, you know, even the left-wing folks that I'll debate with sometimes, I'll say, you know, don't you agree that government is inefficient, it's wasteful, and corrupt? And they'll say, yeah, they agree with it, you know? It seems to me that a really sure solution is, if you just make it smaller, the proportion of waste, inefficiency, and corruption will decline with the overall size of government, but it never goes in that direction. You know, everything always expands, and that seems to be, you know, we just keep building these iron triangles of various groups that are getting paid and benefiting from the system the way it is, and so it just gets bigger. You know, what do we do?
Well, it's really about mismanagement, because if you think about how somebody handles an individual's money, your money, your listener's money, nobody likes it when their money is mismanaged, whether they invested in something that doesn't work out, or the stock market isn't going well, or their investment advisor told them something they didn't like. They can change that advisor. They can make different investments. You buy something that doesn't work, you bring it back, you return it, you exchange it. Harder to do with your investment in the government. But for most people, it's one of the larger investments that they make, paying taxes, whether it's local taxes, everybody pays Social Security. Nobody says, oh, what am I getting for the money I'm sending to my city, town, state, Washington, D.C.? And if people thought of it more like an investment, they would demand better results, and they would certainly get more upset about the mismanagement of their money, because that's really what we're talking about. And there are tons of examples. The Government Accountability Office has six reports, annual reports now on duplication and overlap. Congress doesn't do enough about that. You know, the overlap itself makes it harder to achieve the goals of certain programs. Even if one thinks the government shouldn't even be doing it at all, they're doing a lot. and they should be doing it better and more effectively, and that's difficult when there's so much duplication and overlap and inefficiency, and that's mismanaging money.
It's very rare. There's only been a few times in history, really, that we've had a business person in the White House. And we've got a rather odd one running now, I'll be the first to admit. But at least he's a business person, you know. I don't know.
Right. Well, I've said publicly I'm not sure that Donald Trump would be the one that everybody had in mind. But nonetheless, you know, that it is a different perspective. It's certainly one of the reasons why he's doing so well. And, you know, whatever else people thought of the FBI decision in terms of Hillary Clinton, to them it was just another example of getting away with something in Washington, you know, corruption, mismanagement, you know, not doing what you're supposed to do. So whatever happens, there's already been a big comment about bring somebody in who is going to shake things up, who's going to make a difference, who's going to try to get something done more effectively and efficiently. And I think that's a very, very important piece of what they're learning this year. And look, I think that goes, you know, trickles down to the, hate to use that word. It will affect Senate and House races as well. That's just a big anti-incumbent feeling. So I think people who say I've done this, or I can do that, or I can give you a better result, or I can help more people by eliminating inefficiency would do well.
Well, with the Brexit, with Bernie Sanders, with Donald Trump, and I've mentioned things on both sides of the aisle, obviously diametrically opposed, I think there is an anti-establishment fervor out there, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I just absolutely love that. You know, even if it were Sanders, who I think lives in fantasy land, you know, I think it'd be interesting, at least. But what about term limits? I mean, that seems like a real solution to me, you know, at least something worth a try.
Well, you know, I know you've been around a while. I mean, the term limits movement had some impact at the local and state level. Congress would never vote on it for itself. So the term limits really are every 2 years, every 6 years. And if you don't like the overall direction of Congress, look what happened to Eric Cantor. That was a big message. You know, he was supposed to be the next speaker, and obviously he's not. And that was, look, a lot of that was individual to him and his district and what he didn't do to do the basics involved in being a member of Congress. But if somebody wants to do this and do it well, then they should come back. If they're not doing it well, they should be kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing to me that we haven't had some form of technology that will help us figure this out and make it easy for the citizenry to hold their representatives accountable. In every other area of life, technology has made us much closer to things in many ways, much more empowered. Yet in this area, it's a big mess.
Oh, there's a lot of information. You know, look, Congress is not as transparent as it could be, but there is certainly a lot more information about what's going on than there used to be. And I think that's an excellent point about getting more information, learning more about what's going on. And physically, Washington is far away from pretty much the whole country. People know more and hear more and read more about local activities, local government decisions. They know when the school board is meeting. They know when there's a bond hearing. They know, you know, what's going on with local roads and, you know, local politics far more than they do what's going on in Washington. And honestly, they get a lot of information from unreliable or sources that, you know, haven't been verified, like Twitter and, you know, Facebook. Not anything against the, you know, that the social media sources, but a lot of things happen where people see something or hear something, then it's not necessarily all true. But there is, on the other hand, a lot more information generally. People just have to sort it out. If you want to know what's going on, you can find out.
Yeah, right. Well, the other problem is that people aren't really taught how to do that in school anymore. And I would argue that who's really paying much attention to the local school board and the this and the that? You know, there's always a few people in every community, but by and large,
on a per capita basis, you know, nobody's paying attention. I mean, I don't know. Am I too cynical in saying that?
Well, look, when things get personal, people get involved. So the question is, how much do people really care? And rather than kind of whining about it or complaining about it, there is something that people can do about it. And so that is get involved, go to a local meeting of any kind whatsoever, and then, you know, if you want to complain, fine, but don't complain and just do nothing. Complain and get involved.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Any questions I didn't ask you or anything you'd just like the listeners to know in general about getting involved, about the problem, about the solution, about what you're doing?
Well, Citizens Against Government Waste has been around since 1984. We published the Congressional Pig Book. We have a publication called Prime Cuts that lists examples of wasteful spending. And we also have, through our lobbying arm, the Council for Citizens Against Government Waste, ratings of the votes of members of Congress. So a lot of information on our website. We cover a wide variety of issues, from pork barrel spending or earmarks to technology, telecommunications. And, you know, of course, we have to limit it because we can't do every single thing. But there is, I think, an opportunity for people to find out what's going on with their money and what they can do about it as well. And whether it's joining CAGW or a similar group or getting involved locally, it's your money out there, and if you would like to do more about making sure it's being spent wisely, then get involved.
Yeah. How are you funded, and how big is your organization? You know, what kind of resources do you have?
The organization is about 80 to 85% funded by individuals, the rest associations, corporations, foundations. We have a staff of 16, and we are headquartered in downtown Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. And when someone makes a donation to your group, is that a tax-deductible donation, or is it considered political so it's not deductible?
To Citizens Against Government Waste, which is a 501c3, it is a tax-deductible contribution to the extent permitted by law, which you always have to say because there is an upper limit to what somebody can donate to charitable organizations. To the Council for Citizens Against Government Waste, it is not tax deductible because it would be used for lobbying purposes. So that's really the difference, and that's obviously what we let people know when they would like to contribute. But I believe there's something on the website about contributing and getting a copy of the Pig Book. If somebody would like to do that, that is a possible way to join as well.
Absolutely. So when someone goes to CAGW.org and clicks the donate button, that would be the tax deductible part probably, right?
Yes, that is exactly right. It goes right to Citizens Against Government Waste. You know, if you'd like to get our communications, you can opt in or opt out. You can do whatever you'd like.
Fantastic. Well, I personally am going to go and make a donation right now as soon as we end this recording. I'd encourage our listeners to check out the group too. Thank you for doing what you do. This is just a huge issue, and we've got to get control of these politicians. It's just mind-boggling the kind of waste that is going on. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.